Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure, as always. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you did that. If you've been listening already, prepare to become smarter, because we got our good friend John Fox back with us. John O. Fox is the author of If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, which is, in my opinion, the book on helping you and me understand how our tax system really works. I've never seen anybody else, I've never seen any other publication that compares. And he is a professor of tax policy at Mount Holyoke College in the great state of Massachusetts, and a tax attorney by profession, and our good friend, John Fox. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's just a pleasure. Thank you for a very generous introduction.
Well, it's my pleasure, John. By the way, folks, John is an original member of the Brain Trust. He joined us in 98. So, John, you've actually just recently had your 11th anniversary with us.
Well, you know, it's been a great pleasure. I think I was only about 18 at the time.
That's exactly right.
Right.
I was 12, exactly.
Right.
That's the story we're sticking to. John, America, in my opinion, is at an intersection unlike any intersection we've had in generations, in my opinion, with regard to the health care reform debate. And I really believe that we are at a point where if we turn in one direction, we could solve a lot of problems and set this nation on a better path. And if we turn in another direction, we could wreak a lot of havoc for generations. What do you think?
Well, I do think so.
Is that too dramatic?
No, I think in fact Obama's tried to make that point, and I don't think he's been successful in persuading Americans that this is an absolutely crucial time to
I think Americans get it. I just think he's having trouble dealing with the fact that everybody doesn't agree with him.
Well, let me just give you a couple. I mean, these are facts that you'll know, but maybe all of your listeners don't know. But here are a couple of facts that are just so shocking that underscore what you're saying. For the working public, their health insurance costs are rising so fast that the average family plan, which now costs a little over $13,000 a year, that's the average, will cost over $30,000 in just 10 years if health mm-hmm. insurance rates continue at their current. So mm-hmm. they're going from $13,000 to $30,000 in just 10 years.
Now, is that a national average, or is that regional?
That's a national average. The Kaiser okay. Foundation has just published it. And so it's, you know, within $13,000, $14,000. Secondly, Medicare, for all of those retired and on Medicare, and those who are going to become on Medicare, the costs are totally unsustainable. The Medicare mm-hmm. Trustees have said just recently that in just 8 years, just the length of the Bush administration, not a long time, 8 years, the trust fund, which takes all those Medicare taxes and pays for hospitalization and nursing home care, mm-hmm. will be broke. The trust fund will yep. be broke. That means that our current taxes will pay for a lot of Medicare, but they're going to be missing about 20% of the reimbursement. And they say that to put it on track today, long term, this is what we'd have to do. We'd have to more than double the Medicare tax from 2.9% to well over 6%.
Right.
Or cut benefits in half. I mean, that's how serious it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the third point is that in all of the debate, Americans seem to be unwilling either to give up benefits or pay more insurance or pay more tax or any of these combinations. And we're going to talk about how we can get health care costs down.
Well, John, I want you to explain to us how the debate currently going on with regard to health care is going to impact Medicare. I mean,
well,
because I haven't heard. I'm not sure I understand the direct connection.
Well, first of all, the people in Medicare, so many of them say, look, I paid the
these
tax.
These are retirees.
Retirees, this is what you're entitled to when you reach age 65, if you're also entitled to Social Security. So that's most people who become 65 or older.
Right.
You automatically get into Medicare. And I've heard so many times people say, look, I paid taxes for most of my working life on Medicare. You know, why should I have to pay higher taxes or have my benefits cut? Here's the fact. We have paid taxes, but we never paid enough. We never paid enough. So we have left this ongoing deficit that we're asking our children and grandchildren to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be realistic and say, look, we paid the taxes. We didn't pay enough. We have to face the fact that our Medicare costs are beyond what is sustainable.
Right. John, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back after these messages, folks, and talk a little bit more about this with our good friend John Fox. One of the things that's a burr under my blanket is that all of the opportunity to save money and to cut costs are not on the table. They're not being allowed to be on the table. And I'm going to bring that up when we come back. 20 Tales, stay with us.
I'm lonely, but no one can tell.
Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for checking it out. We like it when you go there. I think you'll like it when you get there. You're going to be able to read things that I've written or my Brain Trust members have written. You'll listen to interviews that I've conducted with my 1,500-plus Brain Trust members, the largest community of small business experts on the planet. And you can check out my blog. You can ask questions at the Ask Jim knowledge base. You can get answers right there in real time. And you can also subscribe to my free newsletter. I hope you'll do that. My newsletter goes out every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. And it is free, just like everything else associated with our business, except for my books. If you buy a book, we ask you to pay for those. And then, of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. John Fox, John O. Fox, initial O, is on the name of the book, is on the book, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. And John's our good friend and an original member of our Brain Trust. We're talking about the healthcare situation. John, one of the things, I know that you wrote an article. I want to give you a chance to get this idea out there before we go any further. You wrote a piece this recently that I know was published at least in the Baltimore Sun. It may have gone out somewhere else, but it was about the way what you say is we subsidize health insurance for the wealthy through our tax policy, and it's basically because there's no limit on the deductibility of fancy health plans.
Well, yes, it's really upside down. The greatest tax savings are for people in the highest tax bracket with the biggest policies. As if the federal government had a policy that said we're going to help people most who have the highest incomes and want the
right.
most coverage. So it's really upside down. And I mentioned in there that Goldman Sachs, the firm that is probably the one of the most successful in the world,
mm-hmm.
has paid, recently announced that it pays a premium of $44,000 a year for its top 400 managers.
Mm-hmm.
And the subsidy for that at a 35%...
That would probably include eyeglasses and dental and everything else.
I think it includes if you even think about going to a doctor.
you get a check if you just think
about
it.
You get a check.
It.
If you've been worried about you get a check for $150. And yet that subsidizes they get a tax savings of about $14,000, which is the average family health insurance premium. So they get 100% of their average family health insurance paid for, and most Americans are really
struggling. So you're saying that this family, this family, this wealthier family, may not be any sicker than the family that is barely getting by. But the government is providing them with tax advantages, which means the government is subsidizing that they're giving them more tax subsidies than they are the lower income family. Whereas if the point you made in your article was if there was a cap on that, then the employee would have to pay part of that. In the form of taxes, in the form of income, or maybe they wouldn't get one of those plans, and that money could be rediverted to the lower income family.
Well, exactly. There's no reason for the federal government to be helping people buy anything more than
basic
land.
But are these big numbers, John? I see the discrepancy, and I see the inequality of your point. But are they really big numbers? Isn't a bigger number, John, the problem with mandates on state insurance policies? Isn't a bigger number the fact that we've got runaway malpractice problems that nobody will put on the table? Isn't a bigger number the fact that we're stuck inside of our states and we can't buy across state lines the way we buy almost every other product in the country?
Well, let me get to
don't
a number of things.
It is a bigger
it's a huge number. It's hundreds of billions of dollars over 10 years. It's hundreds of billions. I mean, in the Baucus plan, which has a much higher cap than what I'm talking about, they talked about $215 billion of taxes that would be recovered. I mean, it's a lot of money there. And there's no reason. You mentioned that maybe these rich people aren't any sicker than other people are. In fact, they're less sick. They're less sick because,
yeah,
you know, they have access to every advantage in life,
mm-hmm,
and other people don't. So we would never say to the government that you ought to be providing for any service the highest of subsidy for the wealthiest people.
Well, see, you've been making this argument for a long time.
I have.
On other platforms,
sure,
including the housing situation.
Yeah, no, I have been. And
you've been consistent on this all along.
But the only thing that I can take just the tiniest bit of credit for is that, in fact, the debate, I'm not the only one on this, has come around saying that instead of giving exclusions for health insurance at work, we ought to be giving individuals tax credits that really relate to their needs. So
right,
if you're lower income, moderate income, ordinary income worker, you're going to get more federal assistance than if you're a high income worker.
See, you're talking about means testing, and for some reason, means testing has not found favor in this debate, has it?
Well, it hasn't, and you know, one of the odd things is that even the labor forces, the big labor union people, who ought to be in favor of this, you would think, have opposed it because, in fact, one of the things that labor offers is a lot of these Cadillac plants,
mm-hmm,
to their higher compensated people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it's a really...
GM went bankrupt.
Yeah, so there's no easy alignment, but what you're talking about, and I think what I've been talking about, is that if we're unaware of our health care costs, and if I ask people, well, how much health insurance do you pay? And they say, well, I know what I contribute.
Right.
And I say, well, what does your employer contribute? Well, I don't really know.
See, this is...
you don't know...
This is the issue that I've been talking about for...
Yeah.
I've been as consistent on this topic as I said you have been on the other one, John, for ever since I've been doing my show. I've been saying that this would be the best thing that could happen to small business owners. We've got to become the same level of consumer, of strict, parsimonious consumer about buying health care as we are about when we buy car insurance or anything else that we buy. We watch our pennies with everything else. Why don't we do that with healthcare? We've got to get to that point, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't think that's being debated right now in the healthcare reform bill. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's my favorite blues man, Robert Gray, bringing us back. 7 till. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend, John Fox. John, you want to give us a website where we can find your book?
JohnOFox.org.
JohnOFox.org. He's not an Irishman, folks. It's just his middle initial.
Right.
JohnOFox1X.org. You can find his book, If America's Really Understood the Income Tax, and 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask, and whatever else John writes is always high quality. John,
you can print that for free, by the way.
Good. Thank you very much. The Tax Questions book. John, one of the things that I've been trying to get on the table, and I've talked about it so many times on my show with other experts, and I've been doing this now to help small business owners be able to afford their health insurance, to be able to compete for good employees by being able to provide health insurance for their employees. We've got to make it portable. We've got to make it where everybody buys their own insurance, and I think it'd be okay for the government to subsidize that with some some deductibility. I mean, they do it with our homes. We deduct our interest. We ought to be able to deduct our health care. I think that's would be a great thing for the government to do, but do it on an individual basis. The company, if the company wants to kick in some, that's fine, but make it portable so that John, when I want to leave my employer, I don't feel like I'm stuck there because if I move, and my child has a pre-existing condition, I won't get into trouble. I don't have to feel I'm held hostage by my employer. I can take it with me.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean,
let me say this. I'm going to throw you a bone.
Right.
I think there ought to be a cap on how much the government will subsidize.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, the thing about portability is that it's nonsense to say that the insurance company will say, well, if you move, you know, you can't keep your policy. Of course you should be able to keep it. One of the things that if you go to an individual approach to it, though, you have to make, and this is a point you made earlier, you have to make insurance pools available to the employee. You can't just
association say, health plans. We've been trying to get it passed for 8 years.
Yeah, and it should go across borders. It should be something
yes.
that you could buy a policy from a company that's out, you know, across the country.
And when you do that, John, you basically kill the mandated plans that New York and California and Connecticut and probably Massachusetts has.
Well, you know, this is one of the things about mandates in this. The debate over mandates has to be accompanied by the debate over pre-existing conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the proposition. If we say in the reform that, as most people want, that insurance companies can't exclude you for pre-existing conditions, if there is no mandate, I'm not going to buy any insurance until I get sick. Otherwise,
right.
for the little bills, I'm going to stay out of the pool. So only sick people will be in the insurance
but
pool.
But see, the mandates I'm talking about is the plan that requires me to have some kind of esoteric coverage that I will never use.
No, we need to have, and I think even in the Baucus bill, they have something like five different plans from the most basic to higher plans. But let me turn to one other thing that we haven't talked about. As long as we're going to compensate the medical profession for procedures, they're going to do more procedures because they're just human.
But they're also doing it defensive.
Well, they do it defensively. But even if you eliminated that, it's just human. If I'm going to go in and a doctor is going to be compensated according to how many tests they do, and I like most doctors. I think they're trying to do the right thing. But if I'm going to be compensated, I'm going to run more tests than I would run if I weren't compensated.
But if I'm a healthcare consumer, if I've gotten as smart about health about my healthcare as I am about my health insurance, my car insurance, then I'm going to be part of that discussion.
I know it, and that has to happen. But if we're going to bring down healthcare costs, we have to be willing to accept that we're going to do fewer tests. Fewer procedures,
yep.
And in fact, what we've discovered is that, in the United States, our health care costs per capita are far greater than in most of the developed countries of the world without getting better health care results.
I don't agree with that last part, John. I think we are getting better health care results, but
it's certainly disproportionate to how much more we're paying for health care.
Now, that's exactly right, but now we got to get into the part about the tort reform, John. I know you weren't a litigator when you were an attorney, but I'm telling you, John, if we can't get tort reform on the table, we can't have real health care reform without tort reform.
I think the tort reform is important. I agree with you. We need
yeah.
tort reform. But, I mean, let's take the state of Indiana.
John, I'm sorry. I've got to wrap it up. Here's a quick last question for you. Do you think there'll be a health care reform bill that the president will sign this year?
Yes, I do. I think he needs it. I think the Democrats need it.
I didn't ask you whether they need it or not. Do you think they'll have one?
I think they will have one.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I think you do make a good point. They're going to do it because they need it, which is unfortunate, John, because that means they'll pass something that we might not need. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen. John, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
John Fox, folks. Check him out whenever you can. JohnOFox.org. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.